To all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. As we have been doing the last several weeks, we want to take some time and just have a prayer time. So if you would gather around with maybe some people around you, if you'd like to share prayer requests, and let's just spend just a few moments in prayer. And then when about the end of that time, I'm going to have Charlton come up, and he is going to lead us in prayer. Close out the time. So if you'd gather around with someone around you, maybe you need to stand up, maybe you need to sit down. I don't know what you're going to do, but let's just spend some time in prayer. If you would, let's stand together and sing How Great Our Joy. It's number 202 if you'd like to use a hymnal this morning. How Great Our Joy.
While by the sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought, an angel bright. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. There shall be born, so he did say, in Bethlehem, a child today. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we heaven on high. There shall the child lie in a stall, this child who shall redeem us all. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. This gift of God we'll cherish well. Ever joy our hearts shall fill. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, joy, joy. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high.
Oh, come all ye faithful. Let's sing it together this morning.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of A. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. All ye bright hosts of heaven above, glory to God, all glory in the high. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh come let us adore him, oh come let us adore him, oh come let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
We're going to receive the offering now. If the ushers would come down, and as they are, let's just sing that chorus one more time. Oh, come, let us adore him. You know what adore means? It's just to worship.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Going to have one more video today for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
Gambaru, roughly translated, the Japanese word means to tough it out, to overcome obstacles, to persevere, to press on through tough times. Focusing on the importance of finishing a task and never stopping until a goal is achieved. Who would have thought that a Southern girl from Alabama and a farm boy from Missouri would end up in Japan and find this to be our story? People told us, you can't get into the hospitals, you can't get into the schools. And God has opened doors for us to go in and minister. People told us, you're not going to be able to get into the orphanages. God has opened doors for us to get in and minister to the orphans. People told us, it's going to be difficult to adopt. God has blessed us with a son and a testimony of his faithfulness. People told us it's going to take years for you to see fruit in Japan. And what we've got now is something only God could have accomplished.
One amazing thing that God has done this last year is open the doors for us to start a church plant in our pediatrician's office.
We met Dr. Shimizu when one of our children was sick. Come to find out, Shimizu Sensei was also a believer who had a heart to use her business and her clinic to reach out to the Japanese people.
Japanese do not readily enter churches. So even if the gospel is shared inside the church, most Japanese will not have a chance to hear the gospel. However, hospitals, schools, nursing homes, and other things like this always have people coming to them. If in those places they are able to encounter the gospel, then lots of Japanese will have an opportunity to hear the gospel.
So that's what we're seeing at the church plant, is that people are coming in and they're seeing new life. They're seeing people's lives who have been changed by the gospel, and they realize there's something missing in their own. They realize there's something that they need in their own life, and they're beginning to be drawn to the love and grace of the gospel.
I always felt something was missing before. After knowing God, I always feel a sense of security in my heart. Even though I have everyday worries and problems, I always talk to Jesus honestly, and he gives me peace.
I guess what makes me emotional about seeing lives changes, it's nothing I can do. God calls us to be obedient, but really the work is totally dependent upon him and what he has planned. It makes the hard days worth it to be able to see him really, truly working.
We are overwhelmed by the work of God's grace in our lives. We know that the only hope for the people of Japan is the message of the gospel. And it's because of that we're compelled to continue working in this country.
On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us.
With us. That's the series we've been looking at through this season as we approached this Christmas Eve day. I've been warned not to tell this joke, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. But you know what yesterday was? Christmas Adam, because Adam came before Eve. Okay. All right. So anyway, I'm at the end of my bad joke book. The trouble is at the beginning of the year, I start all over. Okay, and it's the same ones, and you'll learn to number them anyway. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We have a lot to celebrate this morning. God is with us. And this is what we celebrate this day. Of all the hustle and bustle of this season and all the gatherings and get-togethers of family and everything, we want to be sure to always bring the focus in on Jesus Christ. And so we have a lot of opportunities to do that. I want to just share with you a couple of those opportunities. Tonight, what one of them is you're here today. And tonight we have at 5 o'clock our Christmas Eve candlelight service. We'll be singing some Christmas carols, hearing some special music, and a candlelight reading of the Christmas story. So bring back your kiddos and just come on back tonight and celebrate a time with your family before you go back out with your evening celebrations. And so that's at 5 o'clock. I want to encourage you to come out and take a moment out of your evening to enjoy that, and then we just wish you a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's Christmas Eve today, and we are celebrating what Christmas is all about, that Christ is with us. God is with us. And so as we turn with to Matthew, it's one of the gospel accounts of the announcement of the birth of Christ and how that news came. Matthew chapter 1, if you pick up a verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. Reads like this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us, or God with us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this account here that Matthew is sharing of the birth of Christ. And tonight as we read from Luke chapter 2 and we read of the joy and the great expectation, Father, of the coming Messiah. We celebrate with anticipation, Father, because we know that today God is with us. We know the full gospel. We know that Jesus Christ came to this world and he was born a baby and he grew to be a man who laid down his life for our sins and was raised on that third day so that we could walk, not only forgiven of our sins, but walk in the fullness of the Spirit, empowered to live the life that you've called us to, knowing that no matter what circumstance we face, what situations that we're in today, you are indeed with us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. we're going to have a baby. I'm pregnant, not me. But these are the words I heard my wife say to me one day as I came across the campus at Hannibal LaGrange Baptist University. And I saw her coming out of the student life center. She was looking for me, and she was looking for me because she had good news of great joy for us. Good news. We haven't had a baby yet. We've just been married 2 years. This was the year that I'd be graduating from college. So I was going to graduate in May and be a dad in June. I was excited to hear that news. I could see the beam on her face. I knew before she told me that she was pregnant because we kind of suspected it. She went to see the doctor that afternoon, and so we were expecting it. But yet, to hear that news for the first time, I'm pregnant. We're going to have a baby. You're going to be a daddy. Good news. Man, I love that news. Now, but imagine with me for a moment if my wife and I weren't married, and I came across her at the Student Life Center, and she said, I got some news to share with you. I'm pregnant. And imagine if we hadn't been together in the biblical sense. I think most of us understand what that means. Joseph and Mary were not together in the biblical sense. My wife and I, let's say we weren't married, we hadn't been together in the biblical sense, and she came up and said, I'm pregnant. What do you think my emotions would be then? First of all, I want to know his name, okay? And then I'm going to forget that I'm in school to be a minister, all right? Because I'm going to take care of some business, all right? I'd been upset if I'd gotten the news that way that day. That's how my first immediate reaction might have been. So imagine with me for a moment if you were Joseph, young Joseph, and in those days when they were betrothed, it was the same as married. They were promised to each other. They were engaged. They were as married. They just hadn't had the full celebration yet and had not come together in the biblical sense of knowing one another. And so that's how Joseph got the news. Joseph, I'm pregnant. How do you think what might have went through his mind at first? We really don't have it in the record, but we could imagine how he might have felt until he had the announcement followed up by the announcement of the angel, and then God began to speak purpose into this situation. Now, I just want to take a side note to say I find something very amazing here. Jesus was born to this earth. He became flesh like you and me for a purpose. And I want to propose to you today that there is not one baby that's ever been conceived that doesn't have a purpose in God's heart. Whether it's a surprise pregnancy or an unwanted pregnancy or an unexpected pregnancy, every creation of God has a purpose and a design for their life. The circumstances may not be ideal, but they have a plan and they have a purpose. And God is in that situation, even though the circumstances might not have been great. Now think about that for a moment, because he's with us in any situation, in every circumstance. Hasn't that been what this series has been about? God is with us through the desert, through the valley, through the storms of life. God is with us. So even if we get unexpected news, God is with us. Now in this today's story, as the news is being shared, we see that Joseph may not have been quite prepared at first, and he wanted to put her away publicly. But this is how the birth of Jesus occurred. This is how Matthew shares his story with us. God was fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy of a virgin birth. Because if you look at verse 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child." The virgin shall be with child. So it's not a surprise to Matthew as he's penning these words to tie it in with the Old Testament prophecy. Mary the virgin, who had not known a man to this point, is going to have a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. She's going to bear a son, and they're going to call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. So our series has focused on the God who is with us through all kinds of surprises in life. He's with us through the valleys. He's with us in the desert. He's with us in the wilderness. Maybe you've lost a spouse this year. As you celebrate Christmas, your heart is heavy. God is with you. Maybe your relationship is in turmoil, or maybe you've even faced a divorce this year. God is with you. Maybe you're broke this morning and you're wondering how you're going to make it in 2018. Financially, it doesn't look good, but God is with you. Maybe this year you received some bad news that your health is not so great. You may be going through some tests right now that you do not know the answers to. The doctor is yet to call you, and so this Christmas season, you're worried about your health. Or maybe you know the status of your health, and the diagnosis is not good from a physical standpoint. God is with you. Maybe you're going through a spiritual test and trial yourself right now. You're just trying to find out, am I the man that God wants me to be in the situations I find myself in? Am I the woman that God wants me to be? Am I the person right now? Am I representing my faith the way I need to be right now? I'm struggling with this. Is my God really real to me? Do I really believe that God is with me? This test that I'm in, this trial that I am I really responding the way God would have me to respond? God is with you, and you will become stronger, as we've learned in this series, through that time. You see, the word today reads Emmanuel. The name given to Christ today, he's given two names here in this passage. One is Jesus, which means he's our Savior. He's the one come to take away the sins of our world. And all through this series, we've seen John the Baptist woven in there, and he's the one who cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This baby that we celebrate today grew and became strong and lived among us as we lived. But he came with the purpose to also die, to be that sacrificial lamb, the God-man. So Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus emphasizes that Jesus Christ is from Isaiah, the promised one, the Messiah, the one to come. Jesus is the Savior who will take away the sins of the world, but he's not only the Savior, he is also the Lord. He is Emmanuel. He is literally God with us. The word Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, M. So if you want to highlight or break it up in your Bible, just put a slash right through there. I-M. M means with. N-U. Emmanuel. And you means us, man. And El means God. God, with us God. He's not a with it God, he's a with us God. With us God. God is with us. And so we celebrate Emmanuel today. God's work of salvation, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, could only be possible if Jesus were the Son of God, his one and only Son. And so Matthew is careful then to emphasize the virgin birth, that only God could have been the Father, that Jesus is the only God-man. He's the only one that is fully God and fully man. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 with me. And then hold that spot there a minute, moment. Emmanuel, Jesus, fully God, fully man, the only one who could be the perfect Lamb of God. Now, in that mixture, fully God, fully man, we have the fullness of God, we have the fullness of man, and only he could become that perfect sacrifice, because you see, God was without sin. But yet, we needed that perfect sacrificial Lamb, who God, being fully human, who lived without sin, became that for us. So when we look at First John or the Gospel of John, chapter 1, look with me at first at verses 1 through 3. John 1, 1 through 3. You know, the question that we want to start out with, and some of you have heard me talk about this morning, but when did Jesus start? When did he start existing? When did Jesus start existing? He's been with us forever. And we find that in this passage here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is referring to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And we talked about that earlier in this series, how Jesus was present from the very start, and that he was an agent in creation, that as God spoke, and the hand of God moved, it moved through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. All three were present. God in his fullness was present in creation, including Jesus. And he created the heavens and the earth and all of us. He's always existed. But what makes Christmas so special was God in his plan knew the failure of man. And in his plan, he provided a way for us back to him. Because when he first created us, we've learned that that was God's perfect plan for us. He created us in a perfect paradise called Eden. But yet man fell. He sinned. And it separated him from God. And see, sin and God cannot coexist in the same place. So what is God to do? Well, God had a plan. God's not surprised. And his plan is Jesus. And that's what... why we celebrate Christmas, because without Christmas, God's plan cannot be fulfilled. But Christmas is just really a part of that plan. It's the beginning of our understanding of salvation. And so the Word was with God in the beginning. But look what happened then in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. I can imagine how it would be in that night sky. Shepherds going about their business. And all of a sudden, an angel appears and says, I've got great news. Good news of great joy. For unto you a Savior is born. In the city of David, a Savior is born. The city of David has significance because Jesus is a descendant of David. Through both lineages. So, good news of great joy happens because the Word became flesh. On that Christmas night, the angels heard of the witness that that night God broke time in two. That night, Jesus showed up in the flesh. That night, wrapped in swaddling clothes as a precious gift, a baby was born. That night, Mary's news of being pregnant, the promise was fulfilled. The virgin gave birth, and God became man. That little baby, full deity and fully human. So he had to live life like you and I, going through the day in and day out processes of growing up without sin. Could you imagine coming home from school one day and Mary's looking at Jesus' report card? And then James looks at James's report card. Hey, by the way, did you guys know James Broom was born on Christmas Day? So happy birthday to James and Jesus. And Norm was born on Christmas Eve. So happy birthday, Norm. Yeah, how about that? So anyway, could you imagine if Norm and James Broom was Jesus' brothers? Okay, as they growing up. And Mary said to James or to Norm, why can't you be more like Jesus? Okay. You know, he never gets in trouble. He never gets bad marks on his card. Anyway, so Jesus grew up as a normal boy in that sense, that he experienced all the experiences that we would have, that he was tempted in every way, but yet the Word tells us he lived his life without sin because he was God. He could not sin. He would not sin. He was obedient to his Father. He became flesh, but he also became sinless flesh. And he dwelt among us. This is the foundation of our Christian faith, because without the birth in the manger, without this birth in these humble circumstances, without the birth of Jesus Christ, God becoming man, we would not have salvation today. And we would still be living under the system of law, a system that none of us here could live up to. Which puts us in a bad situation, because Romans tells us in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But Romans 5:8 tells us that Jesus, while we were yet sinners, died for us. So this is foundation to a Christian faith. Everything that we worship at Christmas and that we celebrate at Christmas, we need to bring home this greatest present ever. Of all the presents that we tear into and unwrap tomorrow morning, let's remember the greatest present is to unwrap the full revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus, and so let's unwrap that a little bit this morning. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. God is His Father, and He did not inherit our sin nature. And this is important to our salvation because our sins can only be forgiven by the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, they would try to find a perfect lamb to symbolize this perfect sacrifice. And that lamb's blood was shed on the Day of Atonement each year for the Jewish people to confess their sins and be forgiven of their sins. They had to keep repeating the sacrifice over and over and over again. In fact, on the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed and that He was arrested and He walked into the gates of Jerusalem, He would have crossed a bridge with blood flowing under it through the drainage system of the temple. And it would have been the blood of these lambs. And every time I think about that, I think about what He must have felt as He saw that blood, knowing that wasn't going to be necessary any longer. But His blood was going to replace that. And I thank my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ, for this gift that we have today. God is with us. He is that spotless lamb. Jesus became the ultimate Lamb of God. He became that perfect sacrifice whose ultimate sacrifice paid for the sins of the world. So this also intensifies the relationship that we have with God as we take personal what He's done for us. Because let me tell you, for God to become flesh and to dwell among us is a very personal God. I know of no other God that can make that claim. There are things that God has done and He's done through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He does today through the power of His Holy Spirit that no other religion can lay claim to. Because He is the living God. He's the living Lord. He was born and yes, He died, but He rose again and He still lives in us, so we serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Merry Christmas. What a great gift. As we unwrap that gift, let's take it personal. You know how when you unwrap a gift and you can tell when there's been thought behind it and love behind it. When we unwrap the gift of Jesus, you can tell there's been thought behind it and there's love behind it. And it's the love of God our Father, the one who created us, who doesn't watch us as the man upstairs hoping things turn out well for us. He's actively involved in our lives in a very personal way, and God took it so personal that He came as flesh and He dwelt among us. God took it so personal that He took His one and only Son and nailed Him to a cross, and His blood was shed. God took it so personal that He turned His back on sin, and Jesus took it all on Him. And He died that sacrificial death. That alone would be pretty powerful. But yet on that third day, this relationship became even more intense because He rose. He took on our flesh. He lived like us. He involved Himself in our lives in a very personal way. He became one of us and then He died for us. Think about that. Only God could do that. Only God could be perfect, and we must become perfect to be in His presence, but we cannot because we are with sin. We are stained. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Word tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, another great gift, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the stains that we have on us are cleansed and we're made white as snow. Only God could do that. And He took sin on our sin on Himself. He paid the wages of sin, which is death, and gave us the gift of eternal life. Another gift that we need to unwrap this Christmas. Only Jesus could do that. And He did. And He did. And that's why we're here today. Jesus then stood in the gap. He became that bridge back into a right relationship with God the Father. In order for that to do that, Jesus had to die on the cross in our place. He had to become one of us, and He did in a big way. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God with us. That's God with us in a very big way. That's literally God with us. Emmanuel. What a mighty God. You see, God's love for us is demonstrated most dramatically by Him showing up and living among us. Most dramatically by the full gospel. And the full gospel is our God showed up and dwelt among us. The full gospel includes that not only did He show up, He lived among us. And not only did He live among us, He died for us on the cross for our sins. And not only did He die on the cross for our sins, on that third day He was raised again. So we have not only been forgiven of our sins, but we have power over sin and death. What a great gift. That's the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I can experience that today as we totally unwrap that gift. Christmas is God with us. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas is God with us, and He's still with us in a powerful way. He is still with us through His promised Holy Spirit. You see, Christmas is the gift of God of Himself to us. Easter is the fulfillment of the full power of that gift of salvation coming to reality as Christ died for us. But the story does not end there. Christ rose on that third day, and before He ascended into heaven, He commissioned you and I to share the good news. Just like the shepherds went and sharing the good news the night they learned of the birth of Christ, we know the full story. We have a gospel. That's why the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is so important. We need, if you haven't given to that this year, consider a gift to that. Given the gift of the gospel to lives all around our world. Given the gift of Christ. So, Christ rose on that third day, and before He ascended into heaven, He commissioned us and empowered us to fulfill the gospel ministry. And this flash, it went across my mind. The young man was from Missouri. There could be somebody sitting in the pew today that's going to be in his place in a few years. Right now. Because not only did you want to put a little money in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you decided, well, if Lottie went, and I read a little bit more about Lottie, and I realized this was her passion, this was her life, something starts to burn in my heart. And I want to go. I want to go. He may be burning something in your heart right now to go tell somebody else in Mountain Grove the good news, because that's the commission that we've all been given. Let's just take a look at that commission real quick in Matthew, the closing verses of the Gospel of Matthew. That's probably a pretty important note there. I'll get that later. Matthew chapter 28. And if you pick up at verse 18, Jesus came and He spoke to them saying, you know, Jesus humbled Himself to the point of death, and God highly exalted Him. Listen to this authority. All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. The One who spoke creation into existence is now giving us a commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Son, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Tim always wondered what that meant to a pilot, if that ever shook you up a little bit when he said, and lo, I'm with you. You know, does that mean fly at low altitudes? Or no, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, behold, I'm with you. I am always with you. In other words, Jesus is saying, God is with us. And even in our commission to go and tell others, we're not just like told to go out and hope that we have enough courage to do it. We're just told to go and do it because God is with us. God will give us natural ways to share our faith in everyday conversations if we accept that great commission. So let's look at that promise real quick. It says, I am with you always. In other words, I will never leave you or forsake you. And hasn't this been what this series has been about? Through the valley, through the wilderness experiences, through the difficult times, through the times of testing where your faith is on the edge, where even now where you sit, there may be something going on in your life I don't even know about. And maybe very few people do, but it's tearing you up. And you're looking for God in the midst of this situation. I don't know what that is. But all I know is God has sent me through a lot of stuff in life. And there's often I ask myself this question, how would I handle this if I didn't have God? Amen. And maybe you're there today. How do I get through this? How do we make this together? Maybe it's a husband and a wife that just need to pull together tighter and stand strong for their family. Maybe it's a man who needs to go deeper in his relationship with God before he can with his wife, or a wife who needs to give herself fully to God. Maybe it's a situation you're dealing with at work. Maybe it's a situation that you're just dealing with over your health or your finances. But wherever you're at right now, thank you, Jesus. Had a cough till then. So far, still trying to get rid of that. But what is it? What is it that you're in the midst of right now? Will you hear these words? Merry Christmas. It's Mary because of Christ. It's Mary because God is with us, and He's with us in a big way. And God loves us. He so loved us that He gave His one and only Son. And He loves you, and He's with you right now. And the gift of Christmas that He wants to give you right now is the awareness of His presence and His direction in your life. God loves us, every one of us. And not only does He love us, and not only has He moved in our life and showed up in a very big way, but He's calling us to share that same good news so that when we receive this gift and we fully unwrap it, we unwrap the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, we unwrap the one who died and he's unwrapped from his grave clothes, and he's now resurrected in heaven. We unwrap the revelation, the fullness of the gospel. We unwrap that and receive it. Let's then share it. Good news of great joy for all the world. And I want you to know that just like this missionary that we saw up here from Missouri, God can use you. He may send you to Japan. He may send you across the street. He may have you sit around at a table and draw out the three circles on a napkin. He may ask for you to just speak up in a personal way into one of your family members' lives this weekend. But He will use any one of you this week for His purpose. Every one of us is here on this planet for His purpose. To worship Him and to serve Him and to love Him and to enjoy and embrace the gift of life that He's given us. And then when we see a sheep going astray, that we reach out and we either win a lost sheep or a sheep that's gone astray. I love the Christmas program last Sunday night. Wasn't that fun? One of the highlights for me was the sheep who went astray. And I don't know if you all saw it, but there was a little sheep. You couldn't, if you were here, you saw it. There was a little sheep who got clear up in the choir loft. And this sheep had gone astray. And this sheep had a shepherd named Amy chase it down. And then she brought him back into the fold and rejoined him with the group. And the sheep went astray again. Have you ever had a sheep like that? You know, you think, well, okay, they've learned their lesson. No, he went astray again. And this time Kathy went after the sheep. And now you know Kathy is a mom because she had the long arm. I think, remember the elastic man with the arm used to reach out? Her arm went out there beyond limits that were physically understandable, and she was able to grab that guy by the collar, by the shirt, by the lambskin, or whatever that was, cotton balls that were all over the shirt, you know. But she had a hold on that. You could tell she was a mom and knew how to bring a sheep back. Okay. What God wants us to do is He wants us to go after that sheep. Okay, that's what the commission is about too. He wants us to make a disciple out of that little sheep. And you know that little sheep, you keep that up, that little sheep's going to learn how to stay in the fold and learn where the safety is at. Oh, that was a beautiful picture that night of God's long arm is never too short to reach out and to redeem us. And maybe God's long arm is trying to reach someone today here that hears my voice. The other thing that strikes me is Satan did his best, when you think about it. Satan did his best to prevent the birth of Christ. Satan did his best to try to kill the childhood of Christ through King Herod. Satan did his best to kill Jesus as a man, and he did kill him as a man. Jesus died. And Satan had about a day and a half there of a full-on party in hell thinking, the dude is cold. He's dead. He's on ice. I don't have to worry about him anymore. But about that third day, he starts thinking, now wait a second. There was something the disciples were talking about. There was something that Jesus said about that third. Somebody go check it out. And Jesus rose again. Satan did his best, but God overcome sin and death through the resurrection. Death could not keep him in the grave, and on that third day, he rose from the grave. So this Christmas, we unwrap the full gospel of Jesus Christ. This baby was born wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he was wrapped in grave clothes. And both times, he was unwrapped. And we unwrap the gifts of Christmas this year. Let's unwrap that full revelation. Joy unspeakable. There is joy unspeakable for you here today. You will be able to truly say, Merry Christmas. It's a Merry Christmas because of what my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for me. It's a Merry Christmas because the greatest gift I ever received, I received because of what we celebrate on Christmas. In darkness, there's a great light because God is with us. As we stand today, let's celebrate Christmas. Stand up today. Just turn to the person to your left and right and say, Merry Christmas. God's with us. God is with us. Merry Christmas. As we sing his song of invitation, as you're celebrating Merry Christmas, maybe there's someone here today that needs to unwrap that gift for the first time. And today, I would challenge you, this Christmas Eve, make it the best Christmas ever. You know how every year somebody says, we want this to be the best Christmas ever. Well, the best Christmas ever for me is the first Christmas I got to celebrate Jesus' birthday as a reason for the season. When I realized what Jesus had done for me as a young 9-year-old boy. First Christmas was very special after salvation. Would you unwrap that gift today and unwrap the gift of Jesus that he's given to you? The altar is open. We're going to sing some here in just a moment. And maybe you feel led to come and do some business with God and to unwrap some things for him today. Maybe today is that day of salvation. Maybe today is the day that you can say, I can remember on Christmas Eve, I gave my life to Jesus Christ for the first time. Maybe there's someone here today and you've unwrapped that gift. You know sometimes how you unwrap one of those gifts and it kind of gets set aside and you see something a little flashier and you chase that for a while. And maybe you saw something a little flashier and you've taken your eyes off of Jesus and your mind and your heart is not set in the right place. And you need to come back to the Lord. You need to give him your full attention. So maybe we call that rededication or a renewal of our commitment, a reminder of what Christ has done for us today. Maybe you just want to come and just give praise and thanksgiving at the altar for what, as you think today, what it is you've unwrapped and what it is that you have as we sing.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. You are high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the hedge of heaven crucified, worthy is the Lamb.
Often celebrate birthdays as a way to honor someone. It's an anniversary of their date of birth. And you know, when we think about the birthday of Christ, we honor him and we worship him. And we do say, worthy is the Lamb. But worthy is the Lamb, we realize that we're not just celebrating his birthday. We're celebrating the day he died and the day he rose again. And we're also looking forward to great anticipation because there's another day coming. It's called a second coming. And any time, in any moment, he could show up again. And the trumpet will sound. Worthy is the Lamb. Man, isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting to be a believer today? Merry Christmas. Okay, Merry Christmas. Everybody say, Merry Christmas. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day and this opportunity that we have to be together in your house to say Merry Christmas to each other, to have a reason to say Merry Christmas, and to know that Jesus is that reason. And he is the Lamb who is worthy. And so we give him praise and glory this Christmas morning, this Christmas Eve morning, and this service tonight, Father. And as we gather with our families and we celebrate this day, we point to the Lamb and say, Merry Christmas. Worthy is the Lamb of our praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Sing one more song before we leave this morning. If you'd stand together, let's sing The Birthday of a King.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. 'Twas a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Alleluia, oh how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king.
You're dismissed. 5 o'clock this evening.